and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
So then the other bus goes to the stockyards, and we see this cattle drive start time is 11:30 a.m., but it's 11:55 a.m. So they basically walk down this old western set street, and there's cattle, you know, being walked very slowly down the street, and then they're gone. And they're like, that's it?
Yeah, they basically miss it. They just see, like, the last few cattle walk by. And then there's one cow, or a bull, whatever it is, oxen, cattle, walks by, and Pinky goes, oh, look at Angela back there. And everyone's like, Pinky. So then now they're all like, wow, that was it. That was quick. Like, we came all the way down here to watch 30 seconds of cattle. Okay, great. So now the other ladies arrive at the dressage, and they meet the horse, which is called Leo Di Claprio.
You can only ride him if you're under 25.
Yeah, exactly. So Anna, there's a lady named Anna who's the experienced curator, and she's giving them all fan. They basically like all see that they're looking at this horse. At one point, the horse acts up, and so then
they're like, "Here, meet the horse." And the horse is like, "Run!" And they all start running and screaming from the horse.
Pedro falls over.
And Angela goes, "We've just stolen too many ponytails off their asses. They're coming for vengeance." So now they bring the horse out, and they start talking about dressage. And this lady is talking like she's talking to kindergartners. She's like, this is how we do dressage. And they're like, yeah, but we're not doing that. Like, nobody's going to ride the horse. Like, no. Even like, Phaedra. No. Phaedra's like, no, I'm not adhesive today. My wig's not glued down.
The producer goes, so explain why you can't ride because your wig isn't glued down. She goes, girl, I wasn't fitting to say that on TV. Do that with Beverly Hills. Theirs isn't tacked down either. Shit.
And the poor trainer is like, but you came all the way to Texas. You're supposed to be on a horse. And like, yeah, no.
What part of Portia's underboob clinging top says this is an outfit that needs to go on a horse? She's like, I am just barely holding on. This tape can only do so much.
Only this cast could go to an entire event set up for them and be like, yeah, no, we're not going
to
do that.
We're not going to. We're
no, we're just, sorry. No, can we have lunch now? We put on cowboy outfits. That's all we're doing. We're going to eat lunch now. Okay. Point us to the lunch. But their karma is to have to go eat lunch in the horse pen. So there's poop everywhere and it smells like poop.
Yeah, which is crazy. So meanwhile, over at Stockyards, so the Stockyards, I guess, is that the name of the town, this little old Western town? It's like a cute little touristy town. So they're there and they're walking around and they come across a bull, and Shamia is like being jokey. She goes, blink twice if you need help. And then Pinky is like, I'm sorry, Pinky's the one who goes, blink twice if you need help. Blink twice. Because, you know, she's a vegan. She doesn't like what's happening to the bull.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going to sit on Gunner because I'm a vegan. And the horses or the cow's like, me too, girl. So the other ladies take pictures, you know, and they're laughing. This bull hates them. I mean, it's just looking at them like, you fucking kidding me? They're like, now come over here for this picture. He's like, oh, I hate you people.
And there's like a little song moment where they do blink twice if you need help or whatever. Blink twice, I'm vegan. And
yeah, so they go eat lunch. Short. Yeah, they go eat lunch, and it's all meat, pretty much. And she's like, well, I know that Cynthia doesn't care about me because there's no way you're bringing me to a restaurant and the prime thing they sell on the menu is beef. Yeah, welcome to Texas. Okay, it's hard. Enjoy your potatoes. I'm not vegan. I'm just pescatarian, but I've learned to eat a lot of potatoes. Okay.
Yeah. There was nothing about this town that said vegan option. I don't think there's anything like you just see this town, this old Western town with cattle and lassos and all this stuff. I was like, yeah, your salad is going to come like, instead of like a bread bowl, it'll just be a carved out piece of filet. Just be like a prime rib with a hole in it with salad in the center. Like, there's going to be beef everywhere.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? We fed that cow salad. So it was vegan. You can eat it. So yeah. Now she just gets fries, but she says it and like, I'm vegan. I'll just have fries. Oh, so eat the fries. And you know what I'll say? Fries is like the best food group in the entire, like, the entire catalog of foods, first of all. And you know what the second one is? Bread. Eat some bread. Bread, yeah. And French fries.
Yeah, no, but for sure, Pinky is the sort of vegan that annoys people, that makes people not want to be vegans. Because I think at this point, vegan food has actually become very, very mainstream. There's vegan options in a lot of sort of these chain restaurants, or not chains, but like, you know, like the Bennigan's and Applebee's or whatever, or they'll, you know, it can't be made vegan. There's vegan things in the supermarket. It's like no longer just like a fringe kind of hippie option. So like, I also think to that extent, like it's not crazy to have to eat vegan food, and therefore it doesn't need to be announced every single time you like talk to a waiter. I'm vegan. So you could just eat the vegan option and you move on with your life, you know?
Well, not at this place though. They don't have that. So she's well, yeah. like, I'll have yeah, but the still, fries.
No, I'm vegan. I guess what I was trying to say is that like there was a period of time where like I feel like veganism was a strange thing from the mainstream. And so I felt like vegans were often had to announce veganism and sort of explain it and proselytize it. But now like there's not really a need to. I think everyone sort of knows what it's about, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe a vegan might disagree with me, but I just don't think it's like a thing where you have to be like, I'm a vegan. I'm a vegan. You could just eat the food. Just eat the food like you would, like anyone else would say, like, you know, if you don't like fish, they just would avoid fish, right?
Well, vegan's intense though, because there's like, you know, is this prepared with butter? Is this prepared with, you know, so you do have to ask questions and stuff as a vegan, but you know you're in Texas, you know this place is gonna serve meat, just order the fries and stop worrying about it. Like it's not, no one's gonna have, yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't need to be a whole court case about it.
Yeah, I mean, you can obviously say, is there a vegan option? Like you can obviously ask questions, but I'm just saying like Pinky just sort of reminds me of the people that make it. Well, she has. She has made it her personality because it's literally.
She would say that at like a, you know, Tender Greens. She'd be like, I'm vegan. What can I have? They're like literally almost everything here. Yeah. Cynthia's like, well, I'm not saying she should have packed her own snacks, but if I was vegan, I would know if I'm going to Texas, there would be a high possibility that there was going to be a lot of meat. Okay. A lot of meat.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Drew's saying how she tried to go vegan and wound up in the hospital. And cause she has blood type O, and Shamia's like, I'm O negative. Oh my God, we've got something in common. And like, oh my God, she goes, if I can give you blood, if you ever need it. And I love Drew saying like, if I needed blood from Shamia, I feel like Shamia would run to the bank and she'd be like, look, everyone, look at what I did. You know, she'd be on social media twerking on the blood, and she would throw a whole blood donation parade in Decatur to let everyone know that she donated me blood. I was like, that's absolutely 100% correct. That is exactly what Shamia would do. Blood o'clock.
I was like, what would I do? I would have to call you on my deathbed. And she's like, well, there's just one thing you got to say. One little thing. Maybe I'm sorry. And she's like, oh, is that what it would take for me? A genuine apology. She goes, okay, do you want to apologize at the same time? 1, 2, 3, go. And so they stand up to do it to each other's face. And Drew's like, well, okay, I'll say sorry as long as you leave your mom and the generational thing over there. Okay, the generational gang up. You can keep that. So Shamia's like, you can't sneak in something about my mom and think I'm not going to talk about it. Oh, God. She didn't say anything about your mom. She said, have your mom stop confronting me in public. It's not the same. Yeah. She didn't call your mom a name.
But I do think, though, if you are going to apologize, like that was like a little dig right there, right before the apology. It's like, well, you can't do that, Drew. If you guys are going to apologize, you apologize. And it's like an apology. But now you're airing a grievance. Like it's, you're bringing up new evidence in the conclusion and you can't do that. So like, it's like, okay, well, this is ruined for right now. And Shamia's like, I'm trying to talk with you. She's like, well, me talking to Jesus has nothing to do with me not listening to you. And Cynthia's like, okay. Can you guys sit down? We're in a restaurant. You guys are obviously not apologizing. Cause I think Pinky was standing up at this point too. I don't know why, but Pinky stood up.
Yeah. And Kelly's like, I don't think they're even getting close. I mean, I don't know if this is like a bad breakup, like Destiny's Child, but we know who's Beyonce and who's LaToya.
And then they show
Portia.
Yeah, by the way, I really noticed Kelly's sippy cup work this week.
Oh, God,
ever since you pointed it out last week, I was like, oh.
It's constant. It's constant. It's like Marisol's, you know, bedazzled cup on Real Housewives of Miami.
Khakis. Yeah. By the way, as long as we're mentioning Miami, still no word on Miami coming back, and also no word on Ladies of London getting renewed, because Bravo announced a whole bunch of shows that were renewed today because they had their upfronts. And we also know some new shows that are going to be happening. I'm suddenly blanking on what those new shows are, which maybe that speaks to how appealing they were to me. But I do know that on Peacock, they're going to have a show about Madison LaCroix. It's going to be like salon confessions where people come into her salon and then like talk about their lives, which sounds really compelling for someone. And then there's also going to be a show that's going to follow some girls in college down in Florida, starring Heather Gay's daughter, Georgia. So for everyone who wanted more Heather Gay family content, that's coming your way. And I don't remember.
Let's talk about them on the bonus episode this week. That would be fun. Let's go over all the shows.
We also have a new trailer for Next Gen New York City, which is landing later today. So.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah. There we go.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, so Portia, they have to go eat in the horse stables. Like I said, there's like a table set up. And a horse has braids, and Portia's like, yes, go naked hair.
Yeah. So the horse is like, please don't take my tail. Portia says that go naked hair has been around for 10 years, which is actually pretty wild. I think a few episodes ago, I was kind of shading Portia. I was like, what is Portia? I was like, Portia's acting like she's such a big businesswoman. But the truth is, because she was like, as a businesswoman, I was like, is that your defining feature? But it turns out Go Naked Hair has been around for 10 years and has been an over a 7-figure earner every year. So look, I got to eat my words here. Like, she does have a legitimate business. And she's like, and I see these horses' hair look good and I can make some money off this herd. That's exactly what the horses love to hear. Thanks for coming. I'm letting you ride on my back and they're going to take my hair.
And Angela's like, wow, we get to sit at a table set up in the middle of horse manure. Great. So there's a sommelier and he's an Italian guy. He's like, do you like Italian wine? And Phaedra says, I like my Italian man. I'm in my dating era. You know, Chi-Chi's fun, but I just see him when I want and that's it. But I'm open to dating an Italian man. He can keep his wine. Just bring your wallet. I don't think the sommelier in the middle of the horse stable is rich, but I mean, I guess. How are you going to know what fruit's on top until you climb the tree?
Well, I started dating a very handsome Italian man. His name was Leo DiCaprio. Phaedra, that's the horse. Never mind. So they're sitting there in the, like, having a meal. In the stables, the horses' heads are poking out. The horses are just watching, like, can I have some? Can I have some? And the sommelier pours them all wine. And inevitably, as we see it's approaching this moment, he's like, the proper way to drink the wine is you have to, first you put your nose in and you take a sniff of the wine. So they all are sniffing in the wine, but of course they're just all smelling manure. And they're like, yeah. Although I am like Elaine Benes on Seinfeld, and I really enjoy the smell of manure. Call me crazy. Remember that Seinfeld episode where Elaine goes, I love manure.
Oof. Weird.
I enjoy manure smell. I don't enjoy manure itself.
Oof. I always know when my parents still lived in El Paso where I grew up, you know, like driving from LA to El Paso, you know, right when you're about to hit El Paso, because the cow, you smell the manure. It's like, oh, welcome home. The cow
poop. I mean, I don't like love it. Like, I don't seek it out, but if I smell it, I'm not grossed out. I'm like, oh, it's farm smell. But I don't think I want to smell it while I drink my wine. That's for sure.
Yeah. There's a place. There's a place for your manure kink, Ben. Okay. It's not here. So, McKay Michelle's like, it's like having dinner in the bathroom. So now he pours wine and teaches them to say salute ragazzi. And Portia's like, salute, what? And so now they're just laughing and having a good time. And K-Michelle's like, this is the Portia I've loved for years. I mean, even that little sneaky snake Phaedra. I mean, I'm kind of getting her southern charm now. Today made me think maybe there is something in each one of these ladies that I could build a friendship from.
I still don't really understand the Phaedra thing. Like the Portia thing I can understand, it hit a sensitivity, but she really was like, she's like, I'm never going to trust her again. After that, I was like, well, that's a bit intense, you know? So then, so she's like, you know what? Maybe they are all okay people. So now back at the other place at the restaurant, Kelly is asking about what happened last night. And Cynthia's like, yeah, Pinky, you and Angela, I walked away for 2 seconds and came back and you guys were in a full-on battle. And Pinky's like, well, she said that I seemed bothered. And she's like, Cynthia's like, but you were bothered. It's like, well, I mean, did I need to come like that? Maybe not. Like, she's beneath my tax bracket. Like, I shouldn't even be arguing like that. Ma'am, you just released a song about bankruptcy.
You are bankrupt. What are you talking about? So they're like, that's not nice. And Kelly says, well, I get it. I mean, Big Angela is below her tax bracket, which she very could well be. You know, I don't know what it is that Angela even does. So Pinky's like, I mean, she even talked about you. And Kelly says, wait, how did I get in it? She's like, yeah, she said that you said frickin' frack is whack. Ooh. And Kelly's like, well, I did say that, and I'll save it to frickin' frack too. Because the energy with Portia is you can't expect for me to allow you just to sit there and tell lies and play with me.
So Pinky is like, well, I told her what you said seemed hurtful. And she was like, well, it was true. And Kelly says, and well, I mean, the things that I said about her are true. So she said it to hurt feelings, right? So I guess, you know, I think at the end of the day,
he got nothing for nothing.
And hurt people try to hurt people. And that's something that she just has to deal with.
So Kelly's like, well, at this point, I'm really sick of Portia.
You already did it. You already said it. You already made the joke.
20 times.
You said Horsha.
So Cynthia's like, well, Pinky, last night you made a couple of us very uncomfortable. And she's like, what? And she goes, yeah. And she's like, well, but, and Drew says, well, your intention was good, right, Cynthia? And she's like, there's no intention, and there's intention and there's delivery. And Shamia's looking confused. And Pinky says, well, when I was talking to Cynthia, they said my tone was a little aggressive. And Cynthia said, well, it was curt. It was curt. And I received what you were saying, but I do feel like there's a reason it ended up going left. You know, first of all, you didn't have the backstory. She goes, no, I did have the backstory because Shamia showed me the picture. I saw the picture.
And Cynthia says, well, you didn't have my backstory. She says, well, they asked me how it was going in the room. And so I communicated what was happening. Yes, because yes. But again, the puzzle doesn't have just one piece. And Pinky's like, you're right. You're right, but are those pieces vegan? It's like, well, it just takes a lot to put it all together. She's, but Shamia called you. She goes, and we had a talk, and we laughed, and we had done a bunch of things by the time we got to you. Respectfully, she's kind of like, you don't know what you're talking about, and you came in hot about something. You have no idea what happened.
Yeah, and Pinky's like, oh, we did, but let's be clear. And she's like, oh, I'm clear. She goes, that was my first time having a conversation with you guys after I had a conversation with them. So you can imagine, they're coming to me. She goes, yeah, you came in hot. She goes, well, okay, the table was messy, but I've moved on. It's a new day. And she goes, okay, so can we open up the floor to questions before you close it out? Because you start a conversation and then you run the conversation. And she's like, and Drew's like, yeah. And she goes, nobody asked you, Sally Mae. So this is like, I don't need to hear it from you, Sally Mae. So you're calling another person poor. You've got to stop doing that when you're broke and bankrupt. Okay.
Yeah.
And crying on camera about it. Like it doesn't have as much power as you think it does, ma'am.
I know. Also, by the way, I love that Cynthia said this thing about like, can we open up the floor for questions before you close this out? Because I love that Cynthia comes to Pinky with a grievance, which was, look, I felt like your energy was off. I think you came in a little hot yesterday. And Pinky goes, okay, well, I feel better about it today, so I'm moving on. It's like, no, you're not, you don't, the person with the grievance is the one who gets to say that they're moving on and that they feel okay with the resolution. You, being the party that is in question, don't get to just announce, well, I'm moving on, so thank you for bringing this to my attention. No, that's not how it works.
So Drew's like, yeah, that was a little aggressive. And Pinky's like, it is disrespectful to call someone aggressive, especially with all black women have to go through. And if you feel my aggressiveness is taking up space in your little world, then I'll be aggressive. You know, but what you will not do is disrespect me because I'm powerful and I'm strong and I stand in my truth.
Yeah, but I think you stand in your truth. But I think what Cynthia is trying to say is that you were not standing in the truth, which is that there was a larger context to the conversation and the situation that you just came in hot about.
And it's not your business. It's not even your truth. It's not your room. So,
and if it were your business, it would be bankrupt.
Yes. Yeah. Pay your employees. So Cynthia's like, you're going to get the energy you put out. And she's like, but listen, it is what it is. And Kelly's like, well, maybe we should just get our food to go.
I guess I'll get my fries to go in a vegan box, please. Cause that's what I'm in. Now in the other car, come back from the horse farm. Kay says she's going to find, basically Portia's song. She's going to find a song for Portia to sing. And then we just see clips of Portia singing Flatline from 2014. And she's like, got in the trap for 3 weeks. So in the main house. So now we go
to the main house and Cynthia's lying on her bed sleeping and Drew comes in and she's like, oh, I had too much tequila at lunch. And so they sit on the bed and talk. And Cynthia's like, you know, I was just stressed about the Shami and Kelly thing. And she's like, oh, but their rooms are clean now, right? And then we cut to the pool house and they're like dancing all over each other. They're like, yes, our room's clean. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so Cynthia is like, but what's the real issue? Because I feel like it's bigger than the room. I mean, a lot of things are bigger than the room, to be fair. But I think this issue is bigger than the room, too. And I feel like whatever's going on, I don't think it's just about the room. So Cynthia has a feeling that maybe this is what Shamia is really upset about, and probably Kelly too, is that they're not part of the main house. And especially given that Shamia and Portia are sort of in a weird place, you know, I think that she says that she feels that Shamia may feel a little dejected, you know, and she's saying Shamia still feels like a little attached. Well, now she's feeling detached.
Yeah, she's like, so what's, it's something deeper, I'm sure. Andrew goes, yeah, and she covers it with twerking, you know, she covers it with jokes. She's like, yeah, I mean, what is that little dance that she does? And then Drew starts imitating Shamia's dance. And then they put a split screen up and then they both start yelling at the same time, shot o'clock.
And then we see a lengthy montage that shows just how many times Shamia has done this little dance over and over and over again. But you know, Shamia probably watched that back last night and was like, so good. So funny. I'm so glad my dance is finally getting recognition.
Yeah. She's like, it's my greatest hits. So then we go back to the car with the other girls and Portia's like, yeah, Cynthia was really hurt. Number one, they didn't like her room and it was dirty or whatever it was. And you know, Kelly and Shamia know Cynthia. They didn't just meet her. This is not somebody who just planned a trip. And Kay's like, yeah, well, I've only gotten good person from Shamia. Okay. She's beautiful. She's a chocolate woman and I love sleeping with chocolate women. They're amazing. So maybe I just wouldn't see it.
And they're like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, I do think that chocolate women are beautiful. That's the type of women I like sleeping with because I'm gay on holidays. When all the women like walk up to me at my show and they'll be like, holiday's coming up, so holiday, that's my pass. Okay.
So then Kelly goes to the tiny house to see Pinky and she's like, I'm just here to make sure there's no wives in the basement. And then back to Cynthia and Drew. Drew's like, well, how do you feel about Pinky? And she's like, you know what? I hate to say this, but Pinky's kind of hard for me because her energy, you know, she's the energy police. And, you know, it just turns the energy. She goes, yeah, that's like Baltimore energy.
Yeah, that's like energy of people who know how to hammer the shell off of a crab. And I don't want that energy around me. That's the energy of people who have a really good aquarium.
Oh, she's like, yeah, it's too much. I mean, for these conversations to go that way, I mean, it's going to be an energy drainer. And she's like, I can't do it. So now Pinky is talking to Kelly in the tiny house. And she's like, you know, I'm very mindful of my energy because, you know, I'm around energy, you know, and I'm rich, you know, and like to be around all these women who just aren't as rich as me, you know, I'm usually around my husband and I just don't have patience for bullshit. I don't like when people are like, I'm not a girl's girl. I really only get along with guys. Then go be on a guy's show because we don't have time for that here. It was a girl's show.
But the thing is, she's saying she doesn't have patience. she doesn't have patience for bullshit. But like, what is the bullshit that she's been having to wade through? She's the one who's been offering up so much of the bullshit. So then Drew and Cynthia are still talking, and Drew's saying how Pinky inserts herself into everyone's drama. And Cynthia's like, please uninsert, ma'am. Please uninsert. So back in the tiny house, Pinky is saying like, I'm like, damn, like, is this the energy you all have every single day? Everyone's talking about energy this episode. Everyone's very concerned about the energy that's going around. So Kelly is like, well, you know, you got to think about it when you're in a group of women that really don't have a lot of things going on. Oh, okay. Kelly's failing waffles are the thing. God, I sound like Donald Trump there. I apologize. Failing waffles. Kelly and the failing waffles.
She's like, yeah, like, yes. They don't do anything. But, you know, me and you are business women, so we're like a different kind of woman. So, yeah, we get each other. But those ladies, like, they just don't know enough to, like, they're not, like, smart enough to, like, get us. Your businesses are both failing. What are you talking about? Stop. Just stop. Oh, my God.
Like, I get it. Like, they are dealing with, like, probably a level of litigation that no one else is dealing with at the moment, except maybe Angela. And I mean, I don't know. It seems like everyone's going bankrupt on this show. So they're dealing with that. It's annoying, for sure. There's a lot of stuff on their plate. And unfortunately for Pinky, that stuff was only fries. But at the same time, like, you don't get like a red badge of courage for this in this
but
case.
But that's not
like,
what they're saying. They're saying like, we're business women, and they're just women who need to make something out of nothing. Like, they don't have anything like, going on like us. We're smart business women. Yeah, but you two are the ones making everything, every little petty thing, a huge thing. Like, Pinky's making room accommodations this thing. Kelly, you're making the room accommodations this thing. And then you're coming at, like, you're saying Porsche or Horsha every 2 seconds. Like, you're being just as petty. You guys are ridiculous.
We're
business women, so no one can understand us.
I also feel like normally if I were to hear sort of the argument of like, listen, I have like businesses that I'm running. I'm out there in the real world dealing with employees, lawyers, all sorts of things, customers, clients, etc. I deal with real deal things. Normally what comes next is, I don't have time to deal with the petty bullshit of like the duvet is not clean. But in this case, Kelly is like, I am in the real world. I'm dealing with all this shit, which is why a dirty duvet really bothers me the most. Like, it's, yeah. It should be that like, you know what real concerns are, and this is not a real concern.
And Kelly's like, well, I'm self-made, right? So our resilience, I mean, it hits a little bit different than others. And Pika's like, yeah, I'm self-made too. Well, you're not self-saved. That's for sure. And she's like, and it hits a little different. And I built my business from my back, and Angela has to lay on her back.
Okay. That's
you're laying like on your back to get the money from your husband to pay off your bankruptcy. Like, that's so offensive to say to somebody else. Like, why are you being so misogynistic to the other people when you are living off your husband in the same way by taking $5 million to pay off your bankruptcy?
Yeah. And by the way, I fully support that too, because you're in a union and like you would like that's what people do for each other. But like, why are you shaming?
Yeah, I'm not even Angela not supporting it. I'm just saying it's so hypocritical to shame other people. It's like, these totally women are so weak.
And not only are you taking money from your husband, it's steak money.
It's meat money. You are taking dead animal money to save your vegan business. So whatever, lady, fucking hypocrite.
Yeah. So back up with Drew and Cynthia, they're determined to have a really good dinner tonight, and they're going to go to a really nice place in Dallas, and it's going to be a reset. So now it's time to go out for dinner, and everyone's getting on this bus, and various members of the group need a hoist, which is really funny.
They can't get up in their tight outfits.
Yeah.
And, so Shimmy is like, okay, everybody, I've got a public service announcement. Baby, our shit is the bomb, you hear me? And we're in there now. We laid our bed, you know, we laid in our beds and everything. Wow.
She's like, guys, the room is clean. I'm like, okay, you're trying to turn it around because you've probably gotten feedback that you guys are acting like downers, and it's too late. So Cynthia's like, oh God, praise the Lord.
Exorcism while they were in there.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now they're on the road, and they're asking each other about their days. And Shamia goes, "We didn't herd the cattle. We just heard the cattle. Like, we heard it. Heard the cattle.
Heard. Like John heard the actor, but like the verb heard. Like, okay." So Drew goes, "Yeah, we watched them. It was like a cattle parade. It was like 20 of them walking right past us. And we were like, oh, there they go. There they go." Cynthia goes, "Well, I heard that you dressage people had a blast." I'm like, "Yeah, it was great." And then they're just basically comparing stories. And K. Michelle tells them how they had to, they ate in stables. And she's like, "I mean, we're going to eat in the stables with horses? Now that had me in tears. I have not laughed that hard in to the point of the tears. Although I will say this, that horse looked at me in a strange way and I did not appreciate that whatsoever. I'm not ever going to look at a horse again. I don't like horses now."
"Okay, well, let's play a game. Each person tell us something that they've learned about each person that they didn't know before the trip." And Kay's like, "Well, I didn't know that Phaedra was actually nice." And they start cracking up. And she's like, "Well, I guess I'm glad you got a chance to ride with me." And so she's like, "Yeah, this be my first girl's trip. The most shocking thing, walking through that airport, and white ladies coming up going, 'Oh, my God, it's Phaedra.' I'm like, 'Phaedra? I mean, if I ain't learned nothing else, I know that Phaedra Parks is a household white lady name."
She's like, "What people know about Phaedra?" So Angela is saying, she's saying, "Well, I will say, I know that Portia is the key. Like, she is a time and a half. But, you know, when your wig is slipping, you know, you try to, you're like holding on and Portia's just like ripping it off. Just snatch it off when you're getting out of the car. You know, Portia." She's like, "Yeah, because we got a sleepy clause where we were riding so long. Whilst I used my wig as a pillow." They're basically just like cracking up in the back of the van. They're just telling stories. And then Shamia, they're all having fun laughing. And then Shamia does the thing where she's like, "Guys, let's be serious. I didn't know K. Michelle last night at the pool when we were talking. I didn't realize how much you'd gone through and why you had such resistance and hesitation when it came to being part of girl groups," which, by the way, girl groups is code for reality shows.
Yeah. And she's like, "Yeah, I'm dealing with those girl groups in Atlanta. I mean, that's why I'm so rebellious. They tried to make Atlanta be hell for me. They were awful. And I just kept fighting for my career. I just kept fighting."
"Well, hearing you talk about it just made me, it opened my eyes to just so many things. So I'm so happy that you were so open and vulnerable." Oh, Shamia, you like not bring the mood down? Like,
yeah, it's like, that's all she can do, Shamia. She's a mood killer.
She had a bad time on VH1.
I think it's so funny that we've heard so many trauma. We've had like every trauma storyline on these shows, you know, and it goes from silly to like really, really deep and dark. But this is the first trauma storyline that we've had. Was like, "I've been on Love and Hip Hop. Oh, so hard. Like, oh my God, you poor thing. Welcome to Atlanta. Welcome to Real Housewives of Atlanta, baby. You'll be okay here."
So then Kelly says, "By the way, girls, I really appreciate you ladies, your comments and your support at my opening. That meant everything to me. It really did." And then Angela, who was at the opening, goes, "Who all was there?" Portia's like, "Oh God."
Yeah, Portia starts making faces because she knows what's coming. And so Kelly's like, "Okay, Angela, so who all was there? You know, I mean, clearly you know who was there and you know who wasn't there as well." And Portia's like, "Did you enjoy the event, Angela?" She says, "I had an amazing time. The food was good and the flowers you sent were beautiful."
"Well, Kelly told me that she didn't want broken flowers from a broken person." I just thought in our group support, I think group support is just like more appreciated than a flower, you know? She's like, "Okay, girl, my present was not necessary. Celebrate yourself and the hot dogs." And what does she serve? Waffles? I would not know. I'm like, "Well, by the way, Portia, just so you know, I fully agree. You should not have gone, but like, be careful when you start talking about hot dogs because
we've seen you working in a hot dog shop. Don't forget."
We spent a lot of time in the world of hot dogs because of you.
Yeah. So she's like, "You know, you just like you said, you don't mind me saying what I said in front of Kay, which is one person. I mean, you could have told me that you felt that way about me sleeping with a married man prior to doing it in an interview. And that's why I said to you what I said in front of Kay, period." And she's like, "Oh, so basically you wanted to reflect about how you felt about yourself in front of Kay." And she's like, "No, you lied on me. She goes, I didn't lie. You didn't say that you wanted to sleep with Charles. Have you never slept with a married man? She's like, no, bitch. She's like, so you didn't sleep with R. Kelly? You didn't sleep with R. Kelly.
Portia goes,
bitch, he wasn't fucking married at the time.
She's like, yeah, R. Kelly was damn sure was married. She's like,
no, he was not. He was fucking not.
She's like, he was married. He was married. I'm like,
he was married to six people. How dare you? Like,
can we move on from R. Kelly? This is not going to go anywhere good. So Pinky goes, wait a minute. Portia slept with R. Kelly. Like, I believe I can fly R. Kelly. The bump and grind R. Kelly. Same girl R. Kelly. I'm like, and a few other things R. Kelly, by the way. There's a Lifetime documentary. So yeah, Portia's like,
there's a lot of R. Kelly out there.
There's a lot of other accolades that he has. Kelly, Portia says,
Kelly, this bitch has read The Pursuit of Portia. I mean, she actually read my book to come out. You know, she actually read my book to come try to read me from my book. So I really don't give a flying fuck what Kelly's talking about, but thank you for the sale.
And Portia's like, well, the truth dropped in my lap, so I brought it to you. She's, oh, really? What truth, Portia? She's like, that you slept with a married man on BET weekend? She's like, where? She's like, where is he? Where is he, Portia? Where is he? Okay, so now she's we have to actually produce witnesses.
And Kelly's like, where is he? And Portia's like,
after you want to fly with him, he went to your room. And like, by the way, her drawers came off after the flight.
She goes, yes, my drawers did come off after the flight. You're absolutely right. I went upstairs to my room and then I met Shamia for dinner. And I dropped my drawers in between because I changed clothes for dinner. You have to follow along. It was a good joke. If you think about it, paints a picture.
It's like, yeah, you were with a married man. She's like, I'm confused. So Portia says, this married man texted his friend who I was standing next to. And the guy was literally like, I'm here in the room, and just got out of the bed fucking Kelly. And thank God the producer asked this, because I was like, what? And the producer says, what kind of man would text after they fucked Kelly? And she's like, well, the way he handled it was like a boy. But Kelly, you know, the way you handled it was like a slut.
So, okay. So then Portia's saying,
yeah, you tried to call him a couple days after we talked. She's like, well, who's the guy? You did this. Because she wanted to find out, how does Portia know about the situation? And yes, you did. Laugh. You can laugh all you want, because you definitely tried to call him.
And Kelly's just trying to laugh it off. She's like, are you in a 2B movie or something? No offense, Drew, but are you in a 2B movie? Like, what are you even doing, Portia?
Oh my gosh, so silly. And Pinky's like, it's giving more Lifetime than Tubi. Okay. I've just got to get myself in this argument somehow. And Drew's like, it's giving plot twists. Can I produce it? And so Kelly, Portia's like, should I spell it out? And so they're saying, well, who is he? And Phaedra's like, no, let's not do that. And Angela goes, oh, you know who it is? Well, who is he, Phaedra? Tell us. And
Phaedra's like, ixnay on the aim nay, because she's like, for her, Phaedra knows who this guy is, and she's like, if you reveal this, you're not gonna really, the person who's gonna bear the brunt of this the most, the one who's gonna be hurt the most, is gonna be the wife. And so she's like, don't say anything, which actually Phaedra's response actually kind of makes me think that maybe Portia is not lying here. Because, I mean, I don't know if Portia's lying or not, but it like moves the needle more towards, oh, maybe this did happen. Because Phaedra is really like, don't say anything. I know the family. I know the wife. I don't want to mess this up. Like, don't say anything.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck up their family. So let's keep it a secret that the husband's cheating on the wife and then bragging about it via text.
I know. Let's just make sure the wife just keeps on living with blinders on.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt if you don't know about it. So Kelly's like, you know, don't worry about me. Worry about the motherfucking liens on your house. Worry about collecting the money. Who are you? This is, I mean, you are throwing IOUs in a bank.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. Kelly and Pinky are really going hard on this. And so Portia's also like, coming
really hard for the, I mean, it's just silly. So Kelly's like, yeah, worry about the liens. And she's like, I knew you were going to say that. She goes, yeah, worry about collecting your coins, Portia. She's like, yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Why don't you worry about the house you lost and the businesses you're trying to build? It's already gone. Your business is already gone.
Listen, I didn't marry a man for a house. You married for funds. We will never be the same.
She's like, oh yeah, I miss non-prenup.
She's like, okay, well, I know you got that prenup because it was like, guess what? It wasn't love. And Portia's like,
yeah, well, you should be able to read a legal document better than that,
which I don't think there's any expectation that Kelly could read much of a legal document. So Kelly's like, well, let me tell you about a bitch like me. Bitch, you fucked, sucked, and scissored everything in motherfucking Atlanta.
Which is and she goes, what are you trying? You tried to scissor me. Are you insane? And she goes, what? Who tried to scissor you? Get that motherfucking hot chili cheese Frito pussy. I don't want to scissor you. Motherfucking goes, hot chili cheese Frito pussy.
Chili cheese, what? Can I name what? A TV movie after that?
And you know, Kelly, you can't even diss someone well, because while that's the visual of that is disgusting, it also sounds delicious. So like, who are you trying to diss here?
Yeah. And sometimes it feels like Kelly has these pre-made insults that she's like, next time she comes after me, I'm gonna call her this. So she just like, I don't know. We'll see where this goes. It's to be continued. Will they resolve this fight? I don't know. We don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I was laughing the whole time.
Yeah, that was fun. Fun times. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be back a little bit later today with The Real Housewives of Rhode Island. Talk to you later.
Yay. Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Robb.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.